This is the word of the Lord. Let there be light. I was toying with that in the announcements. It just kind of popped out of my head, but those are the first words spoken. The first words spoken by the God who created this world, and really only God, of course, could speak those words at that moment and form the world out of formlessness. Only God could create all that is out of nothing, could create the world, all of this somethings out of the nothing of that preceded creation. Only God could say those words, let there be light. Those were the first words spoken, and in a sense, those will also be the last words spoken when God comes again in Jesus to make all things new, a new heaven and a new earth. In a sense, God will also say then, in that future distant moment, let there be light. And really, that is the measure of all the words in between spoken by the God who creates light, who sustains light, and who comes to save us by bringing light to the darkness in the person of Jesus. Let there be light. These are the quintessential words of God, the Creator, the Sustainer, the Giver of life, our Savior. But let's be clear, and this passage makes this abundantly clear, that when we say that God is light, we're not saying some kind of spiritual only light. We're talking about an embodied light. And this is what this passage makes so very clear. We're not talking about God being some kind of sunrise, or God being the light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak, or God being some kind of comforting nightlight, making us not afraid of the dark. That's not what this passage means when we say God is light. We have to be clear about that, because that sounds nice, doesn't it, that God is light. But we can very easily overly spiritualize that concept. But this writer of Scripture is making very clear that no, this has to do with a person, and his name is Jesus. When the God who at the beginning of creation said, let there be light, when he comes to share that light, reveal that light to us who are in darkness, he does that not by some kind of grand idea or philosophy. He does that with a person, and his name is Jesus. And this Jesus, we read in Scripture, was born a human. He lived a human life. He learned the trade of carpentry, we know from the Gospels. He also very clearly learned Scripture and learned all these passages. And then when he came of age, he began to teach, and he called disciples to himself, and he began to heal. And he did that by laying his hands on the bodies of those who were sick, and he taught, and then he died a very human death, an unjust death, because he was so willing to confront the darkness with the light of God that he was willing to go to that end, to dying for us. And we read in this passage that he was willing to share his blood, the blood of Jesus, which purifies us from all sin. So we are not at all talking about some kind of spiritual light that is distinct from or divorced from this world. We're talking about a light that shines in the darkness, and that is revealed in this man named Jesus. And that, I think, should make us incredibly brave. That's one of the gifts of light, isn't it? Is it gives us courage, it makes us brave, it gives us confidence. I remember very clearly, this was a number of years ago, but I can still hear the voice of my son Anderson saying to me, I'm brave, Daddy. And he said it as he held on to this flashlight. So the scenario was this. We were living in California in the time, and we had this great garden in our backyard. In California, everything grows. In fact, in California, their tomato plants right now are this high. So we can be a bit jealous about them, but it's also 109 there, so we wouldn't want that. But we had this huge garden, and it really kind of grew all year. So through the winter, we had herbs growing. We had this very large oregano plant. And one night, I was making spaghetti and meatballs, which is kind of one of my signature dishes. I make the homemade pasta, homemade sauce, make the meatballs, and I needed some oregano from the garden, and I think Eleanor, who was probably 7 at that time, was playing with some dolls. She wasn't interested in going out into this dark night, and it was a cold night too in California, and Heather was probably coming off of, I don't know, like a 16-hour shift at the hospital, so she didn't want to go out in the garden. But I handed Anderson this flashlight, and this 3-year-old boy got this big smile on his face. His eyes started to sparkle because a flashlight is a good thing to a little boy, isn't it? That's one of the joys of being a dad to a little boy, is sharing with him the joys of manhood. And there's just something good about a flashlight. And he got this smile on his face, and he said, contemplating this journey out into the darkness to get some oregano and holding this flashlight, he said, "I'm brave, Daddy." That's what light does for us. That's one of the gifts of light, is it makes us brave. It gives us courage. And is it not true, given this if of the gospel? If God has spoken light into creation and said, "Let there be light," and then come to save the world that is in darkness, and that includes us through Jesus' Son, through his sacrifice, if that is true and we now stand in that light, the light of God who is light. And by the way, that's why when God comes to speak, he speaks light, because God is light. That's what we hear in this passage, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. That's what integrity is, isn't it? That our words would match our actions, or our words would match the essence of who we are. And God, more than, of course, anyone, has integrity. So when God speaks, he speaks his very existence, his very essence. And so he says, "Let there be light," because God is light. And if, and this is the if of this passage of Scripture, we stand and can walk in that light, the light of God, the light of the God who created this world and said, "Let there be light," and who has now saved the world through that light, if we stand and walk in that light, can we not be brave? Can we not have courage and confidence? Part of that bravery comes from what God reveals by the light, and we stand up, we look around, and we realize we are not alone. We stand in solidarity, or in what this passage calls fellowship with others, and really that word means partnership. The partnership, the fellowship of the gospel. We look around in this light of God and we realize there are others standing and walking in the light with us. And what a joy that is. And really, what a joy of this particular congregation that is. That's the joy I have known now for 4 months as I've come into your fellowship, this partnership of the gospel. And truly, it's been a blessing to me to join in that fellowship. You know, I really only know one way of being a pastor. And this is what I told the committee that hired me, the Bridge Pastor search team. I said, "Look, I only know how to be a pastor in one way, and that's to jump into the deep end of fellowship with people and to love fully and to relate to people. I don't have kind of a setting 10 for being pastor and then dial it down to say setting 5 when I'm a temporary pastor. I only know how to do it one way, and the joy of being in this job has been experiencing that from all of you. That all of you really only know one way to love each other and then to love me, and I've experienced that love, and what a blessing that has been." And that's what Scripture calls fellowship or partnership. We stand in the light of God and we look around and we realize we are not alone. We are joined with other sisters and brothers in Christ, and really that is a deep part of the experience of grace. We learn in this passage, if we walk in the light, as God is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. We would expect the writer here to say we have fellowship with God, which is true. He's kind of assuming that, but our experience of fellowship with the God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that is experienced in a community just like this one. And it is unique, isn't it? And many of you have known this, that the kind of relationships that you can experience in a church like this one are markedly different than the kind of relationships, friendships you can have elsewhere. There's a joy to Christian fellowship that is unparalleled, and that's part of the confidence we gain in walking in this light of God, and it should make us brave. Brave to invite others into this light, into this fellowship. Do you know how Jesus often called his disciples? He used 3 very simple words: come and see. I love those words that he offered to his disciples. He didn't say, "Hey, learn all this doctrine." He didn't say, "Swallow a giant pill." He said, "Come and see. Check it out. Check out my way of life, which is the way of God embodied in this world. Look at it. You don't have to believe first. Just come and see." And I would wish and I would pray that those words would be used by us in this community, in Fort Collins, that we would say to others, come and see. And maybe we don't use those exact words, but essentially we're saying, look, I have experienced the love of God in this place, this church called First Presbyterian Church. And I want to invite you, my neighbor, my coworker, my family member who doesn't go to church, to experience the light of God, the love of God. Come and see. And I know that's often a difficult thing to ask, but can we not be brave since we're standing in this light of God? The other thing that I think the light of God enables or makes us bold to do, gives us the bravery, the courage to do, is what this passage is naming as confession. You see, we have our own darkness. We are not like God, in whom there is no darkness at all, as this passage says. There is darkness in us. That darkness is what the Bible names sin. And to deal with that darkness is what this passage refers to as confession. We just did it a few moments ago in worship. We confessed our sins out loud. That's why we do that weekly, because that's to be part of our daily Christian life, is confession. And I would hope, in fact, take your bulletin home every week and use that confession that you see there. You shouldn't only speak those words once a week. That should be a guiding confession for you. And when we confess our sins before the God who is light, we are letting God's light, which is about God's purity and holiness, shine into our lives, our hearts, our souls. We're opening ourselves up to who God is, and we're saying, God, search me and know me. Point out my sins. Point out the things that I've done that I should not have done. God, point out the things that I have left undone. You know, confession is really one of those things that you have to do in order to experience the benefit of it. I can't really convince you right now that confessing your sins will be an experience of grace for you. Really, you need to try it. I remember when I was a kid, I grew up going to a Lutheran church and a very liturgical worship service, not unlike this one, and we often use this passage to confess our sins. If we claim to have fellowship with him yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus purifies us from all sin. That was part of the confession that was used in this Lutheran worship service. And as a kid, I remember I didn't say those words out loud. I think I probably thought I was tricking my mom by kind of mouthing them with my lips, but not actually speaking the words out loud. And I did that because at that time, I didn't believe that I was a sinner. And so I didn't think that I had to confess my sins. But as I became a Christian and heard the gospel and began to follow Jesus, I began to do just this. I began to confess my sins and allow the light of God to shine into my light, into my life, and reveal my own darkness, my own sin. That's really the way confession works. It's a truth that needs to be done. Verse 6 in this passage, if we've claimed to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. Really, that should be translated, and we do not do the truth. According to Christianity, truth is something to be done, and confession is an act. And again, you have to try it to realize the benefit of it. So even if you've never tried it before, or maybe you've come to worship many, many years and said those confessions out loud, but maybe they haven't come from your heart, try it. Do the truth. Allow God to search your heart. That is the act, and that is the grace of confession. And we have the bravery and the confidence to do that because we are in the light of God. But I would press this just a bit further, and this is maybe where this becomes uncomfortable for us, but the gospel is not just comfort, it is also conviction. When this writer of Scripture is talking about confession, in all likelihood, he's talking about confessing our sins out loud one to another. As in, you have a good friend, a sister, or a brother in Christ that you have a deep enough friendship with that you can trust that person when you have sinned to confess those sins out loud. Because again, we hear in this passage that we are in fellowship with one another. So in all likelihood, I think this writer is thinking about that kind of confession. And Protestants become a little bit uncomfortable with this. And I think this is part of what was thrown out with the bathwater of the Reformation, is confession. Now let me be clear, only God forgives sins. So if you do confess your sins to another, and it could be a pastor, it could also be a very good friend, a sister or a brother in Christ, that brother, that sister cannot forgive your sins. Only God can do that. But there is something incredibly wonderful about the grace of sitting in front of a brother and sister and saying, I have sinned, and I have sinned in this way, and hearing from that brother, that sister, God forgives you. By God's grace, I have had these kind of relationships for many years, and I make sure wherever I am, I have at least one brother in the Lord to whom I can go in a time of need and say, I've done this thing, or I've left this undone, and I'm seeking God's forgiveness. And then to hear those words of grace from that brother. And so I would encourage you also in that discipline. And if you don't have a friend like that, well, that's the first step, is to pray for that kind of friendship. And if you're a brother, you need a brother. And if you're a sister, you need a sister. And then when the time comes, you can confess your sins to that person and so experience the grace of God. And by the way, I think probably this is a growing edge for this church. You know, I'm a bridge senior pastor, a temporary supply senior pastor, so it's not my responsibility to rewrite the playbook of this congregation, so to speak. At some point, that will need to be done. This church will need a new playbook, a new vision. That's not really my responsibility, but I do pray for this church and the future years, and one thing I'm praying about and hoping for is that there be some more structure around those kinds of relationships in this congregation. Because we're good at this, aren't we? When you come into this room, you feel welcomed, don't you? You feel loved, you have friends here. And when you go into that room and you get some coffee and a bagel, you feel loved there. But that's probably not the time and place to confess your sins, is it? With a cup of coffee in hand and a bagel in the other. I think this church can do more, and perhaps God is calling this church to do more, to enable that kind of relationship, to put some structure around that so we can easily find those kind of friendships where we can confess our sins one to another. By the way, another passage of Scripture which names that is the book of James, chapter 5, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins one to another. This is a mandate from Scripture. And any commandment we receive in Scripture is because God wants us to experience grace. And that's why he wants us to confess to each other. Not an easy thing to do, but God gives us the confidence, the bravery to do that because we are in the light of God. Since we are, can we be brave, sisters and brothers, to confess and not only to exist in this fellowship, but to invite others into this fellowship by saying in some way, come and see. That is the grace and the work of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, you are light, and in you there is no darkness. God, by your grace, we walk in your light, and we give you thanks for that. God, walking in your light, you make us brave. You make us bold. You give us courage. God, with that bravery, help us to invite others into this fellowship. To simply say, come and see, experience what I've experienced. God, give us the boldness, the courage to confess, and not just to you, Lord, but to rely on our sisters and our brothers, those relationships which you formed. And if we don't have that kind of relationship, Lord, we pray for that kind of friend in our lives. God, this we pray in the name of Jesus, who is the light of the world. Amen. Thank you.